this case, the signatures don't match. So you throw the ballot away. It's a Republican ballot. So voter fraud can be happening in all kinds of ways. It's not always adding fraudulent votes. Sometimes it's subtracting votes from your opponent. And in this case, about 400 votes were stolen that way. The election was decided by 211 votes.
Cleta, John has just mentioned with the Republican ballots being stolen, is there really a difference in some of the strategies, particularly the election day strategies, between parties or conservatives versus liberals? Are we seeing a big difference?
Well, liberals have always had a view that what they needed to do was expand the voter rolls. And they're always thinking up new groups to add to the list. And historically, we know that when the country was founded, that only white males who owned property were allowed to vote. And over time, that has been changed so that we basically believe now that anyone who is a citizen should be eligible and who's of proper age and is not mentally incapacitated or in prison should be allowed to vote. What the Democrats, with their liberal allies, first of all, understand something. There are countless liberal organizations that exist whose sole purpose is to work on issues related to Election Day, voter registration, expanding the voter rolls.
Would you like to name some names?
Well, ACORN is not one that you think of as an organization that is supposed to be organizing within the inner cities to fight poverty. But ACORN plays a huge role in voter registration and get out the vote and delivering voters to the polls in the inner cities. And frankly, and there are tons of them. There are the voting rights organizations, all of the civil rights organizations that are really voter, and in many cases, in my view, voter fraud experts. When I testified before the House of Representatives when it was considering the Help America Vote Act, following the 2000 election, I had a lovely exchange with darling Representative Maxine Waters from LA, who essentially attacked me because we were suggesting that the states ought to have, one of the things that is a problem is that the states' voter files are not accurate. And for many years, the liberals have wanted to continue to add votes and eligible voters to the voting list, but they have contended that any purging of voters who haven't voted in a period of time, that constitutes discrimination. And they always play the race card. This is, you know, one of the problems we have is they always play the race card. Anytime we're trying to clean up the balloting process, clean up the voter rolls, she attacked me because she said that even having voter registration was a denial of equal rights to minorities. And I said, you know, we're really not here to debate having voter registration because that is still the law in all 50 states, although they'd like to get rid of it. But understand that there's been a whole trend for many decades now to add as many names as possible because that expands the pool of potential illegal votes, and it continues to this day. John?
How many of you have heard of Rhino Republicans? Well, I've got a new term of art for you today, ENA Republicans, which I call establishment in name always. And Congressman Mike Oxley of Ohio is one of them. You know, Lenin once said, capitalists will sell us the rope to hang themselves with. I sometimes feel some Republican congressmen are in that same boat. Congressman Oxley is the chairman of the Financial Services Committee. He's retiring, thankfully, having given us the Sarbanes-Oxley disaster. But one of the things he tried to do with the latest housing bill is he was agreeing with the Democratic staffers who wanted to allocate a certain percentage of the federal budget for public housing, 2 or 3%, that would go to community-based organizations, the biggest of which was one that Cleta just mentioned, ACORN, which is the leading violator of federal voter registration guidelines and state voter registration guidelines in the last election. Can you imagine what ACORN would have done with all that slush fund? Well, luckily, Congressman Ed Royce of California, with some help from Alan Greenspan, went to the other members of the committee and said, don't you dare think about doing this. This creates a slush fund for the left. So I have to tell you, if you're going to fight voter fraud, the one thing you don't want to do is feed the beast. So sometimes we're not just in danger of not defunding the left, sometimes we're in danger of actually feeding it even more and having it, giving it a gourmet meal.
Bob, did we see some of the other organizations out in Washington State with some of these tactics?
We really saw them through MoveOn.org, et cetera. They actually hired, it's illegal in Washington State for convicted felons to vote, and as their voting rights were restored. They hired convicted felons to go around and register felons, including during permanent absentee voter drives at our mental health hospitals, where we had some convicted sex offenders, two reasons why they shouldn't vote. But we have a lot of the leftist groups out there. The provisional ballot game, now think of this, in Washington State until our fiasco, provisional ballots were the same, they were the ballots at the poll. But people came to the poll site with a provisional ballot in hand and inserted directly into the vote counting machine. Now, provisional ballot is supposed to be separate, it's supposed to be marked, and then checked later to make sure you satisfy all the requirements. How'd they get those ballots? Well, we found out later that in King County, our largest county, the Democratic judge would get the ballots on the Friday before the election in shrink wrap packs, no count for how many ballots he or she received. And after the election, they were told to destroy the unused ballots.
Well, apparently...
Maybe that's why we had more ballots than the number of voters.
And again, you hear that? That's key. Say that again.
We had more ballots counted than the number of voters who voted.
And now apparently the state of Maryland doesn't need the help of MoveOn.org to get ballots to convicted felons. Since this week, they're looking at passing, restoring the right of convicted felons to vote. Cleta, you had something that you wanted to add to John's comment about feeding the beast?
Well, I was just going to add a little, because I was involved in that effort on the GSE Housing Fund. What we managed to get put in that bill, and the reason I'm telling you this is because I want to take it one step further and tell you how things are reported by the media. Thankfully, we have a good media person with us. But when Congressman Royce called me and asked me about this and did I think that this was of concern, I said Acorn is the largest perpetrator of vote fraud in America. Really cost, in my view, cost the president Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and they would do the same thing. They're planning the same thing again. I said, you just cannot allow them to do that. And he said, well, we can't. I said, you ought to kill the bill, first of all. But since that wasn't possible, because it's a bad bill from a conservative's perspective, in any event. But what we put into what we did manage to get in the legislation is a provision that is found in the campaign finance law, which says that any organization that engages in federal election activities is ineligible to receive money from this fund. And and federal election activities include voter registration, get out the vote, voter ID. Now, one would think that that's not a big deal because these are supposed to be people helping low-income housing, build low-income housing. So you think, well, what big deal? 2 weeks ago, there was a press conference where 101 liberal charities signed a letter and had a big press conference and attacked the Republicans in the Congress and the conservatives in particular for infringing on their First Amendment rights, denying their ability to engage in these election activities in order to be eligible for this $9 billion fund. So, and that's all reported with a completely straight face by the media as to how conservatives are attacking the ability of these charities to help poor people. When in fact what we were really doing was saying you can choose. You can either engage in these federal election activities or you can be eligible for low-income housing assistance programs, but you can't do both. It wasn't reported that way.
John, did you have an additional comment?
Well, if any of you ever wonder what will happen if the liberals ever get their goal of having complete control over writing election laws, I give you the state of Maryland, which just a few weeks ago overrode three of Governor Bob Ehrlich's vetoes, and they're all elections. Now, these bills, one of them would allow early voting anywhere in the state 5 days beforehand on touchscreen voting machines that have no identifiable paper trail. The second bill would allow no excuses absentee voting for anybody at any time. And the third bill, and this is what picks up on what Bob says, because he told you about the provisional ballot problem in Washington State, this would allow anyone in the state to vote a provisional ballot. A provisional ballot means they're not registered, they're not on the rolls, without showing any ID in any county in the state, in any place in the state. And since the counties don't communicate with each other, in theory, they could vote in every county in Maryland. This passed over the governor's veto. Now, luckily, Maryland has a provision where if you get 50,000 signatures, you can launch a referendum that puts this in abeyance until the people get a right to vote on it, and I think that's going to be done. But if you ever want to see the direction of where election law is going, look at Maryland. I just want to conclude with one quote from a former Democratic congressman I use in my book, which sort of explains what's going on. This former Democratic congressman listened to all of these horrible stories and anecdotes about voter fraud that I was giving him, and he said, look, can I just say something right up front? Your friends, you know, these conservatives, they just don't get it. And I said, what do you mean? He says, they don't understand what this is all about. And I said, what? He says, look, these conservatives, these Republicans, they lose an election. I've heard that if they lose an election, they go back into something they call, I think it's called the private sector. I've heard about this. He says, my guys, my friends, my union friends, they lose an election, they don't eat. And I looked at him and he said, and you know, a guy will do an awful lot if he needs to eat. And he might do things he might not otherwise do. And, you know, we just can't police everybody. That's what this is all about. People who need government to survive, people who live off of government, need to win elections. And if you need to win elections, Katie bar the door, and a lot of ethics and morals that they normally pursue in their everyday life go out the door with them.
Bob, start walking us through the laundry list of some of the tactics that are used, some of the other tactics besides the provisional ballot.
We've turned over to our U.S. attorney. Let me say here that the problem is not just Democrats. It's even worse than rhino Republicans. It's a philosophical problem. And far too many Republicans, particularly Secretary of States, believe their role is to make it as easy as possible for as many people to vote without regard to whether they're live, United States citizen, and whether those accurately counted. And so we keep citing best practices in Iraq. You know, Iraq threw up one or two ballots because they figured. But you have...
Are you saying that non-citizens are getting to vote?
Non-citizens vote in Washington State. Non-citizens vote in quite a few states. In fact, Californian school board elections, there are some proposals to allow illegals to vote in the school board.
But let me just share something with you that I think needs to be done in Congress. You know, obviously the election law should not be federalized. We don't want a national election law. That would, believe me, under certain circumstances, we'd have Florida everywhere. But Roman Mueller, who's a former staffer for Congressman Bill Thomas of California, has a very interesting set of agenda items for election reform. Some of them are, you know, there was a federal commission headed by Jimmy Carter, of all people, and James Baker, who was first President Bush's Secretary of State. They actually recommended national photo ID. This was bipartisan. There was one major negative vote on that commission. It was Tom Daschle, surprise, surprise. But almost every other Democrat on the commission went along with it. So that's a common sense view. Another thing that could be done is provide that voter registration forms are not valid unless the voter has checked yes on the box in answer to the question on citizenship. A lot of states don't even ask if you're a citizen. Well, let's put penalties on it if you check that box and lie about it. Because let me tell you what happened in California, another case. It was a congressional race in which it was found that obviously more people had voted illegally than the difference between the two candidates. So the Immigration and Naturalization Service actually ran a check with the Secretary of State in California, and they discovered there were about 400 people who had done two things. One, they checked the box that they were a citizen on the voter registration form, but when the jury notice came for them to serve on a jury, suddenly they were no longer a citizen. You can't, and therefore ineligible to be on a jury. You can't have it both ways. A lot of people who weren't citizens were trying to get out of their civic duty because they weren't citizens, but they were also voting at the same time.
Cleta, I'm keeping score here. So far we have problems with provisional ballots, we have problems with IDs and people at the polls. I'm hearing about double voting. I'm hearing about illegals voting. I guess that brings me to absentee ballots or maybe electronic or voter intent or registration. What are some of the other issues here?
Well, I think you can just take every aspect of voting and know that that there's a problem with virtually every aspect. And I do believe that one of the problems is that elections are run by people who show up to participate and run the polls, and in many cases they're the same people who've been doing it for years and years and years, and they don't want change. And there's also, I think, what happens is there's a culture in so many places, which is we know who we like, and we let them do pretty much whatever they want to do, even when it is illegal. And so I, frankly, Senator Santorum is target number one for 2006 by the liberals in America. And the biggest problem that we're facing, and that he faces in re-election, is can he get enough votes to overcome the illegal balloting that will occur in Philadelphia? Do you know that there are more registered voters in Philadelphia County than there are citizens who live there?
Adults.
Adults are a voting age population. So, you know, that ought to be, you know, of some concern. And the Pennsylvania legislature, I mean, this is one of our problems. The Pennsylvania legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, is meeting right now trying to hammer out an election reform bill. But again, you have people who've been running these polling places for years and years and years, and some of the changes that we badly need in order to make sure that polling places are located in the homes of ward bosses and candidates in Philadelphia, bars, etc. What's happened is when that was passed by the Senate, there were a bunch of people from all over the state, including in some Republican areas, who contacted their legislators and said, but I've always had the polling place in my house.
John, if as Cleta says that there is fraud and problem throughout the entire process, why aren't prosecutors jumping on these and doing something about it?
Has anyone heard the term political correctness? A prosecutor who goes after voting fraud cases is going to deal with cases that are simply no win politically. Half the people are going to get mad at you. Either the Democrats are going to get mad at you after you go after them, or the Republicans. And believe me, there are some examples, not many, but there are certainly some examples of Republican voter fraud, and I document those in my book, and we stamp those out too. But prosecutors will not touch these cases because they're going to be accused of being racist or engaging in voter suppression tactics. In fact, one prosecutor told the U.S. Government Accountability Office, I will not prosecute voter registration forgeries because it's a victimless crime. Let me tell you something you can do. All of you have prosecutors in your neighborhood. If you see any election irregularities, believe me, prosecutors respond to press clippings and contact from citizens as well. You need to simply tell them you need to make this a priority. So don't just go after the bank robbers, also go after the vote robbers. Now, I just want to make one quick point about absentee ballots. Republicans used to do very well in absentee ballots, and some of them still believe that absentee ballots, you know, provide the extra edge for Republican candidates. I think the best way to approach voter fraud issues are temporarily ignore which party is temporarily advantaged by any one system. Focus on what actually is right that will preserve our democracy and reduce the level of cynicism. On absentee voting, we have an epidemic of convenience fast food voting. When Ronald Reagan was elected president, 95% of Americans voted the way Norman Rockwell depicted it. They lined up at a school or a government building. They had a communal day. They took their kids to see it. We all did it together. Now, 27% of Americans vote absentee or early. In California, it's 40%. We don't even have the election on the same day anymore, because campaigns now are longer, they're more expensive because everybody is voting. And absentee voting is the most prone to fraud, because you don't have to show a photo ID. Somebody can rent an apartment, register 40 people there without ever showing their face, and then vote 40 times from that one apartment, and almost no one will be able to stop it. So absentee voting is the form of choice for cheaters, and that's one thing that Republicans may benefit from absentee voting. I don't care. It's a danger. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, one more point on some of the devices that are used. Bob, what about this issue of deciphering some of the poll workers sort of psychically, mentally discerning voter intent, which what problems we've seen in Washington, because we know that we had some of the folks were refilling out the ballots based on what they thought a voter meant.
In Washington State, they call it enhancing ballots. They tried to do the same thing in Virginia in the attorney general's race, and thank goodness a federal court ruled against that if the vote is not there, you don't count it. In Washington State, we have 39 counties. 38 counties have finished counting their absentee ballots, and Dina Ross was ahead.
What was not known is in the 39th county, King County, Dean Rossi was gaining votes. So what did they do? They decided they better change the procedures, and they sent more other ballots to the canvassing board, which is kind of a violation of the United States Constitution, equal protection, but forget about that. The canvassing board then had a difficult time, according to an observer, deeming voter intent when there was no mark in the race for governor. There was no mark in the race for governor, so they looked up and down the ticket to see who they voted for president. That's how we have Christine Gregoire as governor now. 56,000 votes were enhanced in King County. So another tool of the trade. John was mentioning absentee ballots, and what we're finding in Washington State, you may find this in your state, is the unions are really encouraging their members to sign up for permanent absentee ballots and send them to the union hall, where they'll vote at the union hall, and then they're trying to get paid holidays like in Michigan, where they're off on election day to do other mischief on election day. We also had permanent absentee, Washington State can sign up once you get it forever, permanent absentee ballot drives in nursing homes, in Alzheimer's care facilities, where the guardians didn't even know about this. Who cast the ballot?
If anyone tells you there's no voter fraud, let me just give you two anecdotes. In Pennsylvania, a couple of years ago, a former Democratic congressman was convicted and pled guilty to absentee voter fraud in a nursing home. If a former congressman will take those kind of risks, imagine who else is taking that kind of risk. Second anecdote, Wisconsin, which has been mentioned earlier. Bush has lost Wisconsin now twice to Democratic candidates by 10,000 votes. It has same-day voter registration, which has its own problems. In 2000, the most infamous case involved a cigarette lady, a Park Avenue heiress working for Al Gore, who decided she was going to get homeless people to register and vote on the same day and paid them off in packs of cigarettes. For anti-tobacco party, I thought that was a really rich stunt.
Yeah.
The second anecdote was the shelter for emotionally disabled people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They held a bingo game there. The Democratic Party brought in a bingo game with prizes, and at the end they passed out absentee ballots and had these people, frankly, I have a lot of sympathy for them, but they weren't exactly ready to vote, and they all filled out the ballots there. I mean, it's just astonishing what the level of manipulation they will put some of these people in nursing homes or care facilities through.
I was in North Carolina, and just to tell you my favorite voter fraud story was, I was in North Carolina doing the election integrity program for the state Republican Party in 2002, and one of the things we discovered was that the Republican county chairman had failed in all but 10 of the 100 counties to even turn in any names of observers. I mean, that's another problem that we have, is that in many cases, we're not exercising our opportunity to have people in the polls, being able to go in and check and make sure that things are being done correctly, or in states where we have, it is required that you have at least one member of each political party on the local precinct polling committee, and county chairmen are just failing to do that. So we put together a sort of emergency program to try to supplement what had not been done. But one of the things, for the first time where we had people out watching, and I got a call at the polls open at 7, I got a call at 7:05 asking whether or not we could do anything about the fact that there was a guy parked outside a polling place, and people would come and hand him their ballot and their stub that they voted, and he would hand them a biscuit with a $5 bill in it. And of course, by the time we got the FBI and everybody out there, of course, it was shut down. But one of the things, let me talk about why it's so hard to combat this, because of what John said.
Let's start, now that we've convinced them of the problem, let's tell them now what we can do about it.
Well, let's tell you why it's so hard. The race card is such a difficult question. It's such a difficult issue because the media buys it instantly. But for instance, one of the things that has been determined over time is that if you have a camera to record what is happening, that is considered voter intimidation. And so we had to advise, because the law in North Carolina is that you cannot have people taking photographs of activities outside the polling places. So how are you supposed to have the evidence? So we have to convince legislatures that it is permissible to basically develop evidence of fraud in order to be able to prosecute it after Election Day. And we also have to all, we have to understand that some of these things that are talked about as inclusive, for instance, what John was just describing in terms of the Maryland law, would you like to know who's introduced that very piece of legislation in the United States Senate? Would it surprise you that Hillary Clinton was one of the primary authors to do exactly what John was saying that Maryland has done, that that was the first bill that she introduced following the 2004 election? So what we can do is the Republican Party is under a continuing permanent injunction in the state of New Jersey, which precludes and forbids the Republican Party from engaging in any ballot integrity or voter integrity programs in the state of New Jersey.
We're going to go to you and then back down to John. Is the voter ID and a card, is that the answer, or is there something else?
Well, I think the most important thing is the voter rolls in every state is filled up, without exception. And we simply need to find a way to require proof of citizenship, photo and signature ID. Now, when you talk to most of these secretaries of state, they say you can't purge the list. I'm not purging the list. We're going to put everybody into a suspense file. Require them to show proof of citizenship, photo, signature, ID to be in the active file. If they don't do it, they can vote provisional ballot, but it will not count until they show proof of citizenship.
And yeah, provisional ballots only in their home precinct, not anywhere in the state.
Right. There's some good, I think, Missouri, I think, that's a long
absolutely. Time.
And we really need to do that. We've been working with the American Legislative Exchange Council. We put out what we call best practices, what should occur. And this is really interesting. We went out to all 50 secretaries of state. We probably have three. Black will probably go back with us the most ideas in Ohio. But the best answer was Hawaii. Hawaii's answer is we have no best practices for elections.
Is the voter ID going to work, or is it public support, or is it just with the white conservatives that will support this?
It works if you show up at the polls, but if 40% of the vote in some places is absentee voting, the photo ID doesn't particularly help you, so there are other things that need to be done. Here's where you all come in. Let me tell you how important you are in this, and I'm not just flattering you, this is real. The members of Congress who deal with election law reform, or state legislators who deal with it, 98 out of the 100 people that they see or hear from are these left-wing types who constantly are talking about you're being racist if you do anything to practice voter integrity. They need to hear from you, and believe me, it can make a difference. There's a new chairman of the House Administration Committee right now, who's Congressman Vern Erlers of Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's a good fellow. He's actually a scientist. He understands a lot of these technical issues. He's looking at this with a whole new perspective right now, and Congress has 9 months to go to amend the Help America Vote Act, which at least made a start to perhaps cleaning up the voting rolls and requiring states to have statewide databases, but still leaving them with primary responsibility, which I think is important. He needs to hear from you, and there are lots of ideas that can be done and tried and that are best practices in many states. And believe me, we can clean this up. It just requires the courage of your convictions rather than the courage of other people's convictions. Let me just finish. Civil rights. Everyone will tell you the civil right to vote. Yes, it's very important. We fought a big struggle in the 1960s to make sure everyone was allowed to vote. That's still very important. But there's an equal civil right. Everyone has the civil right to also not have their vote canceled out by someone who's voting twice, someone who shouldn't be voting, or someone who doesn't even exist. That's a civil right, too. You lose your right to vote. Also lose it when your vote is canceled out by fraud or incompetence.
And Bob, and what's the charge for everyone? John's talked about the national law at the state level. What can they go back to their states and go back next week and ask for to do?
They can talk to their state legislators, but ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, has it on their website, ALEC.org, and you need to really urge your legislators to do it. We have to demand that they clean up the election process in the state. I really urge you to get John's book, and you'll find that many of those things are going on in your state, or at least you can make sure there's measures enacted to prevent that. But take a hard look at your Secretary of State. In Washington State, we're thinking maybe some county auditors need to be taken out this year to just send a message that this is serious. John gave a great summary of why it's important, but our founders traded in their bullets for ballots, and we don't want to go back the other way. And when you look around the world, we are an embarrassment. Over 100 democracies require proof of citizenship in order to vote. If they could do it in Iraq and Afghanistan and Palestine,
And Mexico?
And Mexico?
And Mexico?
Mexico requires a holographic photo ID to vote. And they have cut down dramatically on voter fraud. But the same procedures are considered racist and discriminatory and anti-democracy here in this country. It's astonishing.
I think we've come to the heart of the issue, that this is as basic as you can get. As activists, you go out and you're working on issues. If you don't have a fair shake when you're electing the folks to office, anything you do after that is not going to be a level playing field. So I think we need to start with the election process and make sure that your vote does count. Because I know I'm going to be double-checking mine again this year.
And Catherine, I just want to say, if anyone wants to see me about these issues, I'll be at the Encounter booth.
Come and get John's book. This is, you can see, this is a very used copy, so I think you'll find this very interesting. The Encounter book, and he'll be signing right afterwards. Thank you all, and go out and do something.